The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a superstar showdown unlike any in NBA history. LeBron versus Steph in a one-game season. We'll get you ready. Plus, wait until you hear the one word a legendary former GM uses to describe Aaron Rodgers. The question is, does the word fit? And you will also hear something from Tampa Tom that suggests his team might just be impossible to beat this time around. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now on a Tuesday from the Seaport of New York. I am Greeny, and we are ready to roll. The football crew is ready. As always, take a look. Teddy Bruschi, Jeff Darlington, Mike T, they're all ready to rock and roll, and we'll get there in a moment. But we begin with a season's worth of hype, culminating in two special nights. All year, we've waited for this. Tonight, the Eastern Conference play-in. Rookie of the Year candidate LaMelo Ball on the Hornets, kicking it all off, traveling to Indiana to take on the Pacers. Then, the Celtics, playing without Jaylen Brown, hosting the Wizards for the right to play the Nets in round one. It's been a rough season for Boston. Russell Westbrook, Bradley Beal, they won't make that any easier. Tomorrow night, the Western Conference takes center stage. Both games here on ESPN. Begins with the Grizzlies and the Spurs. They meet at 7:30 in Memphis. And then at 10, the matchup we've all been waiting for. Lakers, Warriors, LeBron, Steph. The winner moves on. The loser could face a single elimination scenario. What more do you need to say? So take a look. This is how the play-in tournament functions. The winner of the 7-8 game in each conference advances to take on the 2 seed. The loser of that game then gets that one-game shot. They have to play the winner of the 9-10 game. The winner of that advances to take on the 1 seed. Okay, so let's get into it with Jay Will, KJZ, Coast to Coast, ESPN Radio every single morning. Let's start in the West and work our way back. Mm-hmm. What do we need to see from LeBron James this week that will convince you the Lakers are ready not just to get out of the week, but to win a championship?
Number one, just need him to be healthy. No tweaks. I don't want to see limping. I just want to see him playing and fully engaged, right? Obviously, we know that he is hindered a little bit by that right leg. That's fine. LeBron James still at 80% is better than 90% of the league. I will take it. But I want to see the rhythm. I want to see the ladder. I want to see the guy that posted hashtag WashKing all last year. I want to see that version of LeBron pick up since he's had a month off from basketball, obviously to recover, but he also recovered mindset-wise too, Greeny.
So look, I mean, I think we all expect in a best of seven series, if that's how this thing all played out, both the Warriors and Lakers would get out of this opening week. Mm. That's not what we have here. We have these one-game seasons, if you will. So let's look at the first game here. Steph versus LeBron. What does Steph need to do for the Warriors to win?
He needs to go bonkers. He needs to have the same game he had the other night, 46 points. He needs to have an MVP caliber game and needs to be prolific. Here's the thing. The Lakers are going to throw all their defenders at him multiple times. So guys like Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole also have to carry a lot of the load because a lot of that will be on Steph's back. But still, I'm still going to pick the Lakers to win this game. But Steph has to be prolific, Greeny. Prolific for them to beat the Lakers.
Yeah, because bear in mind, I mean, the loser of this game is literally in a one-game survive and advance scenario. You have one bad night, you have one bad foul trouble, you have whatever it is, and your season comes to an end before the playoffs even begin. All right, now let's get to the East tonight. How would you describe what is at stake for the Boston Celtics this week?
They're going to get a pass. I'm just letting everybody know, you guys aren't going to like it. I have questions about Brad Stevens and his ability to motivate players, to manage players. Brilliant at X's and O's. Managing players is something different. There's something lost from this team. There's something, and granted, I know they've been plagued by injuries. Marcus Smart has had things, Robert Williams out, Jason Tatum COVID, Jaylen Brown out with an injury. But still, granted, sometimes they just don't play hard. You question that about their team. That leadership, they lost their last 10 to 15 games. But still, I think all these guys, Danny Ainge, Brad Stevens, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, they'll all be fine going into next year. What happens with the supporting cast? That's going to be a question I think Danny Ainge is going to need to address. Can Kemba Walker remain healthy for a year? What do you do with Marcus Smart? You still question some of their inside presence that they have, because other teams like the Nets, the 76ers, the Miami Heat are propelling back up. They're surpassing the Boston Celtics.
But that's my point. Yes. The Celtics were the team of the future. Now they all of a sudden feel like the team of the past. We missed the present. What happened to the present?
What better coach are you going to find than Brad Stevens?
If you're telling me the team isn't playing hard.
I understand, but the reason why I think they're going to get another year, you tell me what coach you think is going to be better at managing the personalities of that team other than Brad Stevens for another year. I don't see a coach like that on the market right now. I still think, considering everything else that's happened, we're going to see this team back next year.
Will they get out of this week?
No. I don't think. Watching them play, closing out the season, I don't see it. And the one team I don't want to see from the Philadelphia 76ers, I do not want to see the Washington Wizards. Mm. I think the Wizards versus the Nets will be the matchup the Nets would want. But I think for the 76ers, we always question about the mental toughness of the 76ers. Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, they've been incredible throughout the regular season. Doc Rivers, an incredible job. Now we're in the playoffs, Greeny. This is when it matters. You take that first round against Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal. Let's see how that
No, that's not a matchup anybody wants to see. Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, very dangerous players in these play-ins. He's KJZ every weekday morning, coast to coast, on ESPN Radio. Thank you, Jay.
Thanks,
I'm ready.
Oh, that was a good catch.
Okay, so that's one huge name in the news. Here's another. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers remaining at something of an impasse, although the story continues to dominate NFL circles, including former Packers general manager Ron Wolf, who was on the Big Show radio network offering a rebuke of Rodgers and other star quarterbacks. Listen to this.
Today's quarterbacks want to be more than quarterbacks. You know, in my time, they're hired to be, to play the position, quarterback. These guys, they want to pick the coach, pick the players. A lot of divas playing in that league right now. And the thing that I fail to understand is all these guys that are doing this have long-term deals.
Wow. The word he uses was divas. I see a lot of heads shaking. Teddy Bruschi, I will start with you. What is your reaction to what Ron Wolf said?
Yeah, that diva word is strong. I mean, I don't really know if you should start with me. When it comes to divas, you should start with Darlington. I mean, he's got the Emmy in the background and all that. So, I mean, we could go there.
All right.
Man, coming out hot.
But Greeny, yeah. Here we go. Okay, we're talking divas here. I mean, do you want to put him in that category? You could, but what Ron Wolf is talking about is the way it used to be. And it's just not that way anymore. These quarterbacks, these players in what I call power positions, like an Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, these type of guys have the right to want control and controls this, especially of their careers. And I mean, Rodgers was in that seat before that Jordan Love is in right now. I mean, it's like, I'm the one that took over for Brett Favre. And now it's like, whoa, I sort of see the same thing happening here, and I'm not going to let that happen to me. So it's about these players, yes, exhibiting more power and having more control, but also that quarterback position. I mean, you just can't mess up the relationship and then the feelings of the quarterback anymore because they know how much power they have.
Do the feelings matter at any other position? Teddy, you were a linebacker. Did anyone worry about your feelings?
No, there's specific players. I mean, if you have that type of power, feelings come into play. And I mean, if I'm a player in that Packer locker room, I'm just thinking, how'd you mess this up? How'd you get into Aaron Rodgers' head so much to where he doesn't want to be here anymore? And when you bring in someone and you're almost letting history repeat itself by another quarterback coming in and sort of that sort of progression, you know, this is a guy that says, no, I'm not having it.
Mike Tannenbaum, let me come to you because this is not a brand new phenomenon, but it does feel as though, having seen what Tom Brady did a year ago, might be accelerating this in some places. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the right word. When you look around the league, Russell Wilson, certainly what's going on with Rodgers before everything heated up with Deshaun Watson, the perception was Tom Brady left a place where he had historic success to a place where he at least had a seat at the table, and now they're saying, hey, we want that as well. But I think context is really important, because I've run a couple of head coaching searches where I've had Chad Pennington, I've had Ryan Tannehill very quietly speak to some candidates. I wanted their feedback. They weren't picking the coach, but their feedback was going to be helpful. And candidly, I thought both of those players made our jobs in each respective situation a little bit more attractive. So I think there's a way you can manage these situations where they feel they're part of the discussion, but yet not get to the point where, as Teddy alluded to, it looks like it's past the point of no return in Green Bay.
But Mike T, that isn't the Packer way, right? We sometimes talk about the Patriot way. If there's one thing we're learning here, there's also a Packers way, and it doesn't feel like that's it.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Green. And when you talk to people around the league, when they leave their players, coaches, people in the front office, and then you have to deal with an owner, the dynamic is a little bit different there. They could do things the way they want. There is no owner. It's very unique. And what Ron Wolf, who's a Hall of Fame GM, it's really interesting to get his insight of, hey, this is how we do things. You're under a long-term contract. You're the league MVP. You should be happy. You should be fulfilled here. You don't need to leave Green Bay.
And then let me circle back now to the very well-groomed Jeff Darlington, because, Jeff, you were telling us earlier today that there is a perception about the influence that Tom Brady has in his new situation in Tampa, and then there's a reality, and those two may not actually be the same.
Well, I find this somewhat fascinating coming from Ron Wolf. Look, the reason that the Packers are in the position to be able to, quote, do what they want is because they've had, over the span of, what, three decades, two quarterbacks in Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers? Mm-hmm. Like, that makes things a little bit easier. What I would say when it comes to Tom Brady, for instance, and what Jason Light, the general manager, has done there is it so difficult, is it so wrong for Jason Light to listen to the thoughts of his Hall of Fame quarterback? It is not, there is a misperception about what Tom Brady's power is in Tampa. He is not the assistant general manager. He is not the head coach. He is not making personnel calls just whenever he wants. All this is Jason Light saying, Tom, what do you like here? What do you think about this? So they bring in Antonio Brown. So they bring in Rob Gronkowski. How'd that work out for them down the stretch? I think it's fascinating that people come along and say, well, it's because Tom Brady's getting whatever he wants in Tampa. We're talking about the names we're throwing out here are Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. We're not talking about, you know, even guys like Matt Ryan or Cam Newton going into their personnel department saying, this is who you've got to pick. This is a different deal. Ron Wolf, we're not talking about any quarterback here. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers.
And so maybe Teddy just sort of put a ribbon on it.
I mean, that's just something. Yeah, that's something they didn't understand. They just thought, this is the way it's been, so this is the way we're going to do it. We like this other quarterback that we want to draft and bring him in, and then our future's set. But you forget about the evolution of the power players in football. Those specific guys that Jeff was talking about. Those ones that you have to almost give it up to them and get, I mean, just the way Mike T's talking about it, just giving them a little bit of feeling that they do have, that their say means something. And Aaron feels, if I had that, you never would have got this guy and we could have been even better. So that, coupled with we're not going for it on critical fourth downs when games are on the line, you put all this together, and then one of those power players, which is Aaron Rodgers, is saying to himself, you know what, man, that's it. I can do this because I've seen it done, and now it's my turn, and I'm going to do what's best for me. Because sometimes the saying is, we're going to do what's best for the organization and the team. Sometimes, just sometimes with specific guys, you got to do what's best for the quarterback. And that was this situation.
Really well said. I will leave that there for the moment. Much more on the NFL as we continue. But I need you to see the most unique player in baseball. Did you see this? Shohei Ohtani. Take a look at the 3-run home run that he hits on this pitch. That ball is at his eyes. He hit that. That's his 13th home run of the season, which leads the majors. Look how high that ball is. It's 4.2 feet off the ground. He leads the league in home runs. What hasn't he done this year? Because he also has a 2.10 ERA, which is over 2 full points better than the next closest pitcher on his staff. His performances are being recognized by other stars throughout the sports world, including J.J. Watt, who's paying attention. He tweeted last night, quote, "It feels like a lot of people are talking about Shohei Ohtani, but still nowhere near enough people are talking about Shohei Ohtani. What he's doing in baseball is insane." We are just getting rolling as we continue. Coming up, Tom Brady said something that suggests his team might just be impossible to beat. This time around, you'll hear what that something is. Plus, former LeBron teammate and new Hall of Famer Chris Bosh joins us live. Look into the play-in and more. Don't miss it. Getting rolling with us. Get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Get Up is brought to you by Burger King. Buy one, get one for $1 more at BK. We're getting ready for the PGA Championship later this week. There's PGA champion John Daly. He borrowed my outfit for his practice round today. Here we will see full coverage of the PGA Championship from the Ocean Course in beautiful Kiawah Thursday, 1 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. All right, back to the NFL. This is an interesting look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who had a very late bye last season. And as you can see, before their bye, their offense struggled. Afterwards, their offense was spectacular. And Tom Brady was talking about the learning curve during year one in Tampa. Here's what he said.
Midway through the year, I was still trying to figure out how to call plays. I would just read them off my wristband and try to visualize what was going to happen. But it's like learning a completely new language. You've spoken English for 20 years. Now all of a sudden someone's like, hey, man, let's go. Let's speak some Spanish. And you're like, huh? Like that makes no sense to my brain.
You know, and so, Teddy, again, you played with Tom all those years, and you said you saw it. You said as you watched him early in the season, you could see it.
Yeah, we pointed this out on Sunday Countdown also during the year. Matt Hasselbeck saw it too in terms of, well, what was his translator? It was the wristband. That's what it was. So he's talking about Spanish and it's like, okay, let me go down to my wristband because he's not understanding these plays. And if you know Tom, once he'd go down to that wristband because he's done it before, he's got it. Then it's like, boom, here's the play. Now I continue my progression in the step three, step four, step five in terms of diagnosing what they show for me pre-snap and post-snap. But even after he'd call the huddle, he'd go back to the wristband. And that's when it's like, whoa, he doesn't get it. And that's why it took so long. And I think that contributed also to that blow up he had versus Chicago. I think it was on Thursday night when the frustration sort of mounted. People couldn't get lined up. You got penalties. And all of a sudden, I mean, I can't even get everything out. So that type of frustration, that's just how much of a perfectionist he is. But he had to do that early on. And you could see those struggles emotionally on his face.
And so, Jeff, you also were pointing out that there were a lot of things going on there. And again, we're noticing that's the game you're talking about, where at one point he was so lost in other things, he lost track of what down it was. And, Jeff, you were pointing out, look, things were not – it's easy now to forget because they won the Super Bowl. But things were not always so smooth as he first got there with his new coach and everything else.
Yeah, not at all. And Tom Brady doesn't need me to come up with excuses for him, but I would just say that I would not put it all on Tom Brady when it comes to just figuring out the playbook. This was a situation that Bruce Arians was still trying to figure this out as well. Like, they weren't running practices as smoothly as Brady or others would have liked. They weren't coming up with game plans quite as efficiently as people would have wanted. This was a situation where it took time for Bruce Arians to also get into this championship mode. There was a clear shift in mentality within that organization coming out of the Kansas City loss, in which they made a late game run going into that bye week. There were some good conversations that occurred, and then things sort of flipped the switch. It wasn't just about Tom learning the playbook. more. It was about all of the other things. And I'll never forget something that Tom had told me at the end of the season when I brought up actually a stat that Hembo provided me about his deep ball proficiency. When I said something to Brady about that, his response was very simple. Wait until next year. He truly believes the momentum they found at the end of this past season will absolutely carry into 2021.
So, Teddy, what does that tell us about what we should expect next season? They won the Super Bowl, for crying out loud. I mean, he figured it out quickly enough to do that. Are they going to be that much better?
Well, they're eliminating that clunkiness of the early season, of the first 5 weeks, 6 weeks. So that's eliminated. So now, in terms of victories, they'll come, you know, plentiful also even early on. There's no more sort of a learning process that a lot of rookies will have to go through, what Tom Brady had to also go through, because not only was he learning a new system, it's like, but this is what I want to add to it. That's the Tom Brady I know. So let's tweak this just this way, because I think it can be done better. So the coaches had to get used to that. Players who thought they knew it were like, whoa, what do you mean? That little tweak, what is it? And so that type of learning process, it's gone now. So there's even another level that Brady can teach them. And that's where it's going to be. Tampa Bay looks very good going into this year, not only because they didn't lose anybody, but yes, that process is gone of clunkiness.
Totally agree.
And not only that, Mike Tannenbaum, but you were pointing out that if that kind of thing impacts Tom Brady, what does that suggest to you about some other quarterbacks around the league?
Yeah, if we go back a year ago to the rookies, we got to give them the benefit of the doubt. If the all-time greatest quarterback was struggling to learn a new system, imagine if you're Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, from a standpoint, no two OTAs, no preseason, and you're learning a foreign language. I think we're going to see massive improvement of all those young quarterbacks, and that's why I think it was really unfair to evaluate him just based on last year, because their learning curve was even steeper than Tom Brady's.
A good point. And in a variety of ways, they all acquitted themselves well. All right, we'll leave that there. We have much more quarterback conversation as we continue. Coming up, Frank Reich has fielded a ton of questions about Carson Wentz. Yesterday, he was asked something about his new quarterback that made him cringe. You'll find out what that was and why as we continue. Oh, and then look who's here. He's headed to the Hall of Fame, but before he gets to Springfield, he's stopping in with us. The one, the only, Chris Bosch, live next. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
What does your rivalry with LeBron mean to you?
Our careers are connected because we played at the highest level. You expect greatness, and that's the part I've enjoyed so much about playing in finals against him. It just brings out another level of intensity and excitement.
We got to be prepared for everything that they have. They got championship DNA as well. They know what it takes and what it feels like to be a pressure game. We got to be ready for that opportunity and for that pressure.
Let's go!
It's LeBron versus Steph like never before. That's tomorrow night. Let's talk about that and more with the brand new Hall of Famer, Chris Bosch, who joins us live on Get Up. Chris, we are all so happy for you. Congratulations. Before we get to the playoffs, take me to that moment, the moment someone says the words to you, you are going to the Hall of Fame. What is the first emotion? How would you describe it?
Man, very euphoric. I mean, but one of the things that was interesting that I found, I was thinking about being a kid and having those summer days with my friends and it just starting on a playground and connecting and making friends and those bus rides, you know, that we went to the tournament and those, you know, disappointing rides back home sometimes and just having such a great time and making so many great friends, being able to travel the world, you know, those are all the things that I thought about. You know, basketball has given me everything. And just to be in this position, to be mentioned among some of the best players, I mean, that's all I ever wanted and dreamed about when I grew up. So to go from there to here, it's been truly remarkable. It's a great feeling.
Congratulations. It's extraordinarily well-deserved. Obviously, you played a bunch of years with LeBron in Miami. Take me to his mindset. He's got the ankle, and people keep telling me this is something that is probably going to bother him to some degree, however far they go in these playoffs. Take me to your expectation for him and how he handles that.
Well, I mean, look for him to change his game. You definitely don't want your best player to have a nagging injury. I think they tried to be very careful in the last couple of weeks, really the last month of the season, but for him to get it, you know, to have a nagging situation to where he's re-aggravated it again, that's definitely something to be concerned about. But with that said, look for him to be more of a facilitator. Look for him to be get his teammates involved a lot more, and look for him to just kind of pick and choose his spots to where he can be aggressive. But you know, with that said, you know, you want LeBron James, I guess, out of everyone having that problem, because he does a tremendous job going around the clock with his treatment schedule. So we'll see how it goes. But, you know, in this situation, especially with a one-off situation, you've got to be a little concerned.
Well, there's also a uniqueness in the mindset here. And you've played game sevens with him, which is sort of what this is. I'll give Chris Bosch a minute there to get his earpiece back in. We'll see if he can hear me. There we go. No problem. So you've played game sevens with him. That's kind of what this is. It's like a little one-game play-in scenario. What can you tell me about his mindset going into a one-game do-or-die situation?
Well, I mean, it's going to be the ultimate competitive game, especially when you have someone like Steph Curry. I mean, the way that he's been playing in the last month of the season has been very reminiscent of 06 Kobe. So being in that Game 7 type of situation, look for them to be very intense, but look for the Lakers to really get it done on defense. That's what's going to be very important for them. They're not going to be able to win the game if Steph Curry scores 35, 40 points. They're going to have to hold him to or just below their average, get it done with their defense, and hopefully get out of there with a close win. But it will be very competitive, and I think it will come down to the wire.
Well, so let's talk about Steph for a minute here. I mean, that's quite a comparison that you're making, but he's been as good as he's ever been at the age of 33. How does he do it when everyone knows he's their offense? They're doing everything they can to stop him, and they can't. How does he do it?
That's a great question. I think that's something only Steph Curry knows. I mean, his shooting is unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, he's a master of his craft. Not only that, he's very unselfish. He gets his teammates involved. You can tell that guys love playing with him. And, I mean, he's just one of those guys that's always dangerous. And he has a high IQ guy like Draymond Green always on the hunt to get him the ball, because when he's at his best, coming off those pin downs, coming off those high screens, putting your defense in very complicated situations and tough situations for the entire possession, you know, he can wear a defense down. So, you know, the Lakers are going to have to know where he is on the court at all times. But, you know, look for Steph to be very aggressive and look for him to have a big game.
That's tomorrow night, Lakers and Warriors. While I have you, let me ask you a few other quick ones around the playoffs. You, of course, I know a huge piece of your heart is still on Miami Heat. I've got a lot of people telling me they're going to beat Milwaukee. They're going to knock Giannis out in the first round. What do you expect?
Well, I will say, look for this series to go seven games. It's going to be extremely competitive. The Heat definitely have a lot of confidence coming into this series, especially with the success they've had against the Bucks last year and this year, too. They've done a great job in holding Giannis under his average and making it tough on him. And, you know, just part of the Heat culture, they're going to be competitive. They're going to come to win. They're going to play extremely hard. And with the Bucks, I mean, they're in a situation again. Here we are for the third, fourth year in a row. You know, they're going to have to prove that they're champions. And sometimes you're going to have to see those same situations. You're going to be against the, you know, same teams that you, you know, usually struggle against. And you're going to have to overcome those challenges. So it's starting right now for them, for the Bucks. They're going to have to really overcome a huge challenge early on, and we'll see what happens. But look for that series to go seven games. Look for every game probably to come down to the last possession.
I love it. And then there's tonight. We got Celtics, Wizards in the Eastern Conference play-in, and Boston, which has really been struggling, all of a sudden gets a red-hot Russell Westbrook, who has just turned it on. What are your thoughts on that game tonight with what we're seeing from Washington?
I mean, when you have Russell Westbrook, you're always in any game. You match him with Bradley Beal, the ability to get 30, 35 points a game. That's pretty tough. And especially in today's league with those two guys handling the ball in the backcourt, you know, you're going to be in any game, especially like we keep saying in this game seven play-in type of situation. Boston Celtics are struggling right now. They can, you know, probably have a little bit of a letdown. Look for that a little bit because one of their best players, Jaylen Brown, is hurt. And I really don't see how they're going to get out of this one alive. But with that said, I mean, it's going to be a very competitive game. They have guys that want to win. Look for them to step up. But I just don't see them overcoming the challenges that the Wizards are going to present.
And then one more question for you, Chris. And this one just jumped into my head. So my producer, Allie, is going to yell at me because I didn't tell her I was going to ask you this. But you know what it's like to face all of the expectations when you and Dwayne and LeBron got together in Miami and the whole world is gunning for you and focused on you. The Brooklyn Nets are going into that situation here, and they've done it with no time together. Harden and Durant and Kyrie have barely played together. What do you think that's going to be like for them, and what do you expect from them?
It's going to be tough. They're learning on the fly, but one of the things they can make up for with that is their talent. Now, with that said, they do have to gel together as a team very quickly. I myself haven't even gotten to see them play together recently. So it's definitely going to be a huge challenge for them to gel together as a team, to figure out what they're going to run in the late game situations, how they're going to communicate on defense. There are a tremendous number of challenges going to, you know, present itself with those guys. But Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Blake Griffin, I mean, that's a lot of talent. You're going to have to beat those guys, and we'll see what happens. But it's going to be fascinating. I think we'll all be watching.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, Chris, again, we are all so happy for you. Congratulations on getting ready to take your well-deserved spot in Springfield as a Hall of Famer, and we'll see you down the road. Thanks for getting up with us today.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's the great Chris Bosh with us here. And again, don't forget, our first NBA play-in tournament games on ESPN and the ESPN app are tomorrow. You got Grizzlies Spurs in the early game in the West, and then the showdown everyone is waiting for, the 7-8 game. It's Steph, it's LeBron, it's the Warriors, it's the Lakers. Coverage starts with Stephen A's pregame Sports Center at 7 Eastern. Meanwhile, let me get you to last night's game of the night. Bruins and Caps in the East, game two in the playoffs. Third period, tied at 2. Dmitri Orlov and Garnett Hathaway. We got a 2-on-1. We got a nice feed, and we got Hathaway with a shot and a score, beating Tuukka Rask for second goal of the game, and the Caps take a 3-2 lead. Under 3 minutes to play in the third, same score. Here comes Taylor Hall. We got a rush. We got a scrum. We got Hall finding it in front of the net and finding a way to send it home. There's the equalizer as the former MVP ties it at 3. Take a look at the scrum in front of the action, and somehow he finds the puck. Into overtime we go. The fifth overtime of the playoffs already. And this one wouldn't last long. Less than a minute in, it's Matt Grizzlick. It's Brad Marchand. It's one time and a winner. There she goes. Marchand's goal, 39 seconds into the OT. The fastest playoff overtime goal in Bruins history. They win it 4-3. They even the series at a game apiece. Coming up, Frank Reich has fielded a ton of questions about Carson Wentz. But yesterday, he was asked something about his new quarterback that made him cringe. You'll hear what it was next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings, pick six with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick six not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back, and I just want to ask a question about this. Hey, Teddy Bruschi, this is a pro barefoot water skier named Ben Groen doing push-ups on the water. Teddy, could you do that?
No. I would fall flat on my face in that water. No way.
Oh, I have a second question here. Mike Tannenbaum, could you?
You know, I may live in South Florida, Greedy, but there is no way. And let's just hope this is not an NFL player as well, because if Juwan James didn't get paid for working out, this poor water skier would have no chance to get paid.
Not the act of a human being. Okay, on we go. Back to the NFL. Let's talk about Carson Wentz looking to reignite his career in Indianapolis. Remember, it wasn't long ago that he looked like a league MVP. 2017. He had an NFL best QBR of 78.5, got hurt, you know the rest. And since then, his play has dropped precipitously. Last year, his QBR 49.6, that was 28th in the league. He was sacked 50 times, that was most in the league. Now to Indy, he's back with Frank Reich, with whom Wentz posted his best numbers. And then Reich yesterday was talking passionately about the notion that this quarterback is broken. Listen.
I just cringe when I hear stuff like that. Not that a player shouldn't be accountable for poor play on the field. And, you know, Carson has to answer to that. And he has answered to it. And until you get out there and prove otherwise, that's what you live with. I think we got to be patient with it. But I'm confident we got the right player.
And so let's talk about this, Teddy. We're back to emotions and quarterbacks again, aren't we?
feelings, yes, in our feelings, in the overall situation as a whole for the quarterback position. And, I mean, Carson, he just got ate up in Philadelphia, didn't take well to the adversity that was in front of him in terms of Hurts, in terms of the locker room being critical. Everything happened, a full sort of storm that got him out of there. Well, here we go. You got your perfect situation now and a coach that knows you well, that's willing to have patience like Frank Reich is talking about. And, you know, it's the reset button for Carson Wentz and him feeling good now about the organization being behind him and the coaching staff being behind him. I think he can flourish. I think he can take advantage of this second opportunity. And now that things are good, he can go out there and show some of that form that, you know, truthfully, it was a long time ago. I mean, that was a long time ago. He was in an MVP conversation, but we'll see if he can relive and bring that back, that type of play.
Yeah, in the world in which we live today, that is a long time. And Jeff, you were making an interesting point about some of the ways that he is still perceived.
He's still perceived largely as an MVP candidate. And by the way, we're talking about like a half of season of the season when he looked like an MVP. Russell Wilson looked like the MVP for half of this past season. We were talking about him as the lock MVP candidate. And guess what happened? It didn't work out by the end of the season. We're talking, is Russ going to play in Seattle this coming year? It fascinates me that we continue to talk about Carson Wentz as this MVP candidate. He has MVP odds that are similar to that of Ryan Tannehill, Matt Ryan, Baker Mayfield. He's not on their level. He hasn't proven to be on their level for years now. Maybe this will work out with Frank Reich. Maybe. It's a big maybe at this point, though. It is a resurrection of a career. It is not an absolute. I am fascinated by our continued expectations for Carson Wentz. Jared Goff took his team to the Super Bowl. He's been thrown for dead in Detroit. He's not getting even close to the same level of hype and expectations of Carson Wentz in Indianapolis. I don't get it. Maybe I'll be proven wrong.
You're 100. Listen, I mean, Goff was in the Super Bowl a year after the conversation that we're having about Wentz. And you're right. His team has already given up on him. Mike Tannenbaum, what is your sense of the level of patience we should be expecting in Indy?
Yeah, I don't think there'll be a lot. I really agree with what Jeff said, which is I do expect him to play well, but it's a shorter leash because the first time he throws a pick six or if they don't get off to a good start, there's going to be a lot of doubt in that marketplace from the coaches to the front office to the media of like, here we go again. Like, he doesn't have that reservoir of goodwill in the NFL ecosystem that maybe he has with Frank Reich. And I'll tell you, it's a lot different than Ryan Tannehill, who left Miami and obviously went on to great things in Tennessee. Tannehill was a backup to Marcus Mariota. He beat him out. Here, he's been gifted a really good starting job with a really good team. If he has bumps in the road early, this could change really quickly.
Yeah, Danny, give me a final thought.
I disagree with that because I think this is something that they're going to let him work through those mistakes because I think they know that if they were to bench Carson Wentz maybe in the first month of the season or the first six games, I don't know if you'd ever see him again because he might tank. Because I just don't know if he could take that type of same situation that was in Philadelphia. It's going to be, they're going to work through as many mistakes with Carson Wentz as they can because he's that type of player that we talk about feelings, we talk about quarterbacks being sensitive, but I don't know if he can handle that and you might lose him.
That's a really interesting situation that we're looking at here. Guys, hold that thought for just a moment. We'll have much more as we go, but we are in the week of a golf major. Let's get ourselves to beautiful Kiawah Island and the ocean course, and that is Colin Morikawa warming up. He is the defending champ. He won it out on the West Coast last year. He's getting set to defend that crown. Again, our coverage is coming your way Thursday and Friday, and let's take a look at what the expectations are for the PGA Championship. Our friends at Caesars see Rory McIlroy is the favorite. He won this championship on this golf course some years ago. John Rahm, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Bryson DeChambeau are all right there, right behind him. And so let me bring Gene Wojciechowski into the conversation here as we look ahead to this. Oh, boy, it looks awfully beautiful where you are standing right now, Gene. And let's talk about the golf course. It's 7,800 yards and change. It's the longest in championship history. Give me a name that you think that kind of length favors this week.
Well, all the names that you just had on there, generally speaking, are big hitters. I can go down the list, Rory McIlroy and Bryson DeChambeau and Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas and all the other guys that can put it out there. But, Greeny, one thing to remember about this place, the wind. The wind can change everything here. It can negate some of the advantages. Yes, you would think the big hitter can hit it farther. He's going to get out of the trouble here. But the PGA of America has said that they have the option of using the forward tees on 14 of 18 holes here, moving that up, negating some of that advantage. So it's not necessarily the reason someone will win here because they're a big hitter. I talked to one longtime veteran caddy who's caddied for a multiple major winner. He said, you better have it buttoned up here this week. Iron play, short game, putting, because this course is a big boy course and it will expose your weaknesses.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if the wind is up, that is a brutally difficult golf course. Yeah. But let's talk about Rory McIlroy again. He won this championship on that course. He appears to be rounding his way back into form. Does he look to you as good as before and ready to win this thing?
Sure, of course. But did you see him after he sank the final putt at Quail Hollow a few weeks ago? I'm not sure that was joy on his face. I think it was more relief. Mm-hmm. It was as if he exhaled instead of celebrated. And you can't blame him. He hasn't won a major since 2014. He hadn't won a regular tournament in, what, almost 18 months. So that was a huge weight off of his shoulders. But to your point, he comes to a place where he has great muscle memory, where he won. He held up that Wanamaker trophy. Certainly everything is trending that way, but I'm not sure there's a consensus favorite this week.
It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And, Gene, you'll be there for all of it. Thank you so much, my friend. Great to see you. And, again, our coverage comes your way this week. We got the first and second rounds on ESPN. Thursday and Friday, early morning ESPN Plus coverage. And then don't forget this weekend, the NBA playoffs start. That's Saturday on ESPN and ABC. Then you got the junior welterweight unification bout Saturday night on ESPN. And Sunday morning on ESPN2, the Monaco Grand Prix jumpstarts the day. Now that is a lineup coming your way this jam-packed weekend. Let me run the bases through some of the action in the majors yesterday. How about Gerrit Cole, the Yankee ace, setting a major league record for most consecutive strikeouts without a walk, breaking Corbin Burns' record, which was set just last week. Cole went 61 consecutive strikeouts before allowing a walk. However, the Rangers got the last laugh. They scored five off of Cole and won the game 5-2. How about Albert Pujols signing with the Dodgers and making an impact right away? In his debut with the team, he delivered an RBI single to break a one-all tie in the third, and the Dodgers would go on to win the Diamondbacks by a score of 3-1. And then everything went well for the Padres against the Rockies. Manny Machado hitting his sixth home run of the year. Yu Darvish striking out 10. Darvish in the sixth would get his third career double to the thrill of his teammates and the crowd, and the Padres would go on to win it by a score of 7-0. Coming up, it's one of the biggest matchups of the season. It's LeBron versus Steph. The playoffs on the line. We got Woj live next. Get up on ESPN.